Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan.
What is a Christian? You know, many people are surprised to find that the word Christian is only found three times in the New Testament Scripture. But yet at the same time, it is the name that you and I bear as those who belong to the Christ. Even though it's used three times in the Bible, it is a very significant name. It is a very significant part of who we are. To be a Christian is most certainly to be Christ-like. Tonight I want us to look at these three passages and to understand exactly what is taught in the context of the Bible in regard to what our God says concerning the Christian. First, as we consider the term Christian, it is found in the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 26, which was a part of our scripture reading a few moments ago. And from the context there, we understand that a Christian is a disciple of Christ. According to what we understand concerning the disciple, a disciple is a follower of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Old Testament Scripture identifies for us from Isaiah 62 and verse 2, as well as Isaiah 65 and verse 15, that there would come a day when the Gentiles would recognize the people of God in a different light, and that God's people would bear forth a new name. Good people, in an ultimate sense, that name is Christian, and it is indeed reflective of the fact that we are indeed followers of Christ. What do we think in regard to being a follower of Christ? We are taught by Jesus in the book of Luke, chapter 19 and verse 23, that if anyone desires to come after me, the Lord says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow him daily. Good people, what do we think in regard to this? It requires one who's going to follow Christ to deny themselves and then to focus their attention fully upon him each and every day of their life. Jesus taught in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 that the apostles and even the first century church has a responsibility to go out into the world and to make disciples. To make disciples. To make followers of Christ. And how do we do that? Good people, we do that by teaching them about the Christ. In fact, we understand, as is taught by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then now faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and all those then who believe and obey on the Lord, then they will indeed be disciples of Christ. And how do they become a disciple of Christ? By being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And whenever that happens, we understand, as is taught in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, that we are called children of God. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 and 27, we become children of God. We are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Good people, whenever we think in regard to this, we realize that there's a name that you and I must surrender and submit to, and that name is indeed the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, there is no other name given among men whereby that man must be saved. And that name is the name of Christ. And those who want to be a disciple of Christ, those who seek to be a Christian in like figure, they will follow according to a type of the death of Christ. What is that type? Good people, it is where that we accept the Lord in baptism, where that we are buried with Him, we are planted with Him in the likeness of His death, and as a result of that, then we are raised to walk in newness of life, to be a true disciple, to be a follower of Christ throughout the course of our life here. In fact, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, we learn, He says, let him who say that he abide in Him ought also so to walk, even as he walked. A disciple will be an individual who will follow Christ constantly in and throughout the course of their life. But you know, we also understand from the context of Acts chapter 11 and verse 24 and 25 that a disciple is one who has been added unto the Lord. And I believe that that is the same as what is taught in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, where it's stated that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. A disciple, a Christian, is one who has been added by the Lord unto Himself and unto His one true body. So the Bible tells us that a Christian is a disciple, is a follower, and one who has been added by the Lord unto His church. But you know also, though, when we go to the book of Acts chapter 26 and verse 19, the Bible declares for us that a Christian is one who has been persuaded to believe in the Christ, but not only to believe in the Christ, the Bible tells us that belief that is conjoined with obedience will bring forth salvation. Anything short of that, our God will not be pleased with. Anything short of that, an individual has truly not been fully persuaded. In fact, in the context here of Acts chapter 26, you will note that Agrippa, having heard the Apostle Paul's defense in regard to who he was, as he also proclaimed concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and how that salvation was brought forth through none other than Jesus, in all of this, Paul says, I know that the King whom I am standing before has heard and seen these things, for they were not done in a corner. And the people, probably some of the saddest words there are stated by Agrippa when he says, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. To be almost persuaded, or to have partial belief that does not follow through with obedience, will not bring forth the salvation of the Lord. In fact, we understand the significance of believing in God. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, he says, those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He does not lay it out as an option. He says it is a must. It is a necessity. It is essential that one believe. And good people understand also is that it's more than just a belief that is an intellectual understanding concerning God or a willingness to admit that there is a deity. You say, why do I state that? In James chapter 4 and verse 19, we realize that Satan or the demons believe and they tremble. Well, what type of belief does our God require? Jesus taught in the book of Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be condemned. You see, the Lord says very clearly that in order for us to be a Christian, we must be fully convinced, fully persuaded, to the point to where we're willing to do everything that He commands us to do. That's obedience in order to bring forth our salvation. It's taught in the book of Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 4, that those in Thessalonica, that these individuals were persuaded, believed on the Lord. And what was the result of their belief? Good people, we understand that they were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. In the book of Acts chapter 16, verses 31 through 34, but the whole context there, if you go back up to around verse 17, you will see is that they're in Philippi, and Paul and Silas has an opportunity to teach the Philippian jailer and his household. And these people came to some sort of a belief and an understanding of they were in sin and they wanted so much to have their sins forgiven. And they said, what must we do? And Paul says unto them, if you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, you and your household shall be saved. Did they believe? Yes, good people, they believed. But understand that it was not a belief only. In fact, verse 33 says, in the same hour of the night that they took Paul and Silas and washed their stripes, that these individuals were baptized immediately into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And note the result of that in verse 34. It says that whenever they had come and laid food on the table, that they praised God. They rejoiced. Why? Because they realized that in their belief and in their obedience, that they were recipients of the salvation of the Lord. Good people, whenever we think in regard to believing in God, at to what level does God require us to be persuaded or to be convinced? 100%. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 26 through 39, whenever Philip taught the Ethiopian eunuch, he says, if you believe with all of your heart, you may what? Be baptized into Christ. So 100% belief, but also 100% love for God. Luke chapter 10 and verse 27 says that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind and strength. Well, what does it mean? Every fiber of our being must be generated towards a love towards our Creator. We must love God to the level that He loves us to where that we're going to lay down our life for Him so that we're going to live our life for Him. In this, Jesus said then that we must believe and that we must love and that we must obey Him with 100% obedience. Isn't that what He states in John chapter 14 and verse 15? If you love Me, keep My commandments. And we also learn, as in the context of Acts chapter 26 and verse 29, that we must also have been persuaded 100% to give 100% of our commitment over to the Lord each and every day of our life throughout the course of our time here. So we understand that a Christian is one who has been persuaded to the Christ, to the Anointed One, as is taught in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. But you know also that final passage wherein that we have stated before us in regard to what a Christian is, that is from the direct context of Scripture, is in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. And therefore we learn that a Christian is an individual or those who suffer for the cause of Christ. You know, there's a Greek philosopher, Epicurus, who said, why is it that if there is a God, and this is paraphrased, why is it that if there is a God that we have evil, pain, and suffering in the world? If God is all-powerful, why does that still exist? And if it still exists and He's all-powerful and He won't do anything about it, then what does that say about His love? And good people, in conclusion, Epicurus and other philosophers, even in our present age, use that to dismiss the existence of God. That there is evil, pain, and suffering in the world. And the Bible tells us that evil, pain, and suffering equals life. Not God being responsible for it, but rather because of the fact that we live here in this world and those things go along with living here in this world as a result of sin that started in the garden and continues on present in this world of which you and I reside in. Where does it come from? Certainly not from God. James chapter 1 and verse 13 says, let no man say, when I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted, neither tempts any man. But every man, when he is tempted, is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Well, where do these temptations and trials come from? Not from God, but from ourselves and from Satan. Well, what role does God play? The Apostle Paul explained in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. That our God will not allow us to be tempted above that in which we're able to bear, but that He will be the one who provides the way of escape. You know, Paul, in writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, all who live godly in this present age will suffer persecution. That's only one way in which we suffer while we're here. And good people, we understand from the context of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16 that if anyone suffers as a Christian, we will suffer sometimes, not only the things of life. As a Christian, we're not immune to the trial, to temptation, and to troubles. We will go through those things, but still sometimes the Bible says that we will suffer because we are a Christian. We will suffer persecution. We will suffer the heartaches of not being able to, maybe from time to time, even do well in the world because we're looked down upon, and that's another form of persecution. In those times, the Bible tells us that we need not be ashamed. In fact, that's directly from the context of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. What is it that we should not be ashamed of? Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Let us never be ashamed whenever we're suffering of the gospel that you and I have been obedient unto. But also, we need to understand, as is taught in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, that we are not to be ashamed of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, no matter how terrible it may get, no matter how much pain and anguish we're going through in life. We need to keep our focus and our commitment constantly upon the Lord. In fact, we're given words of encouragement and words of hope through some of Peter's words, and I would like to share those with you tonight. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, Peter writes by way of inspiration, but if any of you should suffer for righteousness, you are blessed. We most certainly are blessed, no matter what it is that we go through in life. And he says, don't be afraid of the threats or the troubles that you're going to face on the behalf of your living according to godliness. Peter also shares with us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, but what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? He says, you know, there's times that we are deserving of the things that we're going to suffer for. And he says, you suffer through those things patiently. You're able to get through those times in your life. But when you do it for good and suffer, if you do that patiently, this is commendable before God. Good people, whenever we go through the fire, whenever we do not stop in the fire and allow ourselves to be consumed, God looks at that progress in our life, and He most certainly is well pleased. In fact, we learn from the book of James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4 that we are to count it all joy whenever we fall into various trials or temptations. Why? Because these things must work for our good. These things, if we will allow them, can work to make us stronger, to have not only be stronger as a Christian, but to have more confidence in the Lord and in His people. In all things, God says that He will indeed see us through. In fact, Peter shares with us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10 that in the end, good people, we shall be rewarded when we come through the flame. Why do we suffer in life? John chapter 15 and verse 18 exclaims that sometimes we suffer because we do belong to the Christ. In these things we realize, though, according to Proverbs writer in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 10, lean not on your own understanding. That's hard for me to do whenever I'm going through things in life, is that I try to figure things out for myself. And by all means, God wants us to use our intellect and to use our understanding and sense of reasoning, but still at the same time, we need to trust in the Lord, as the Scripture says. How do we get through these things? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, that He's with us always and to the end of the age. And God is with us. He's with us through life as we read and study His Word. He's there for us and with us in prayer, listening to our beck and call. He's constantly listening on our behalf to use the things that we need in life for our good. And He's there for us through His people. And God wants to see us through the trials of life. So what is a Christian? Good people, the Bible tells us that a Christian is a disciple of Christ. A Christian is one who has been persuaded to believe in the Christ and to follow the Christ. And a Christian is one who will suffer from time to time and must never be ashamed of their relationship with the Lord. What about you tonight? Are you a New Testament Christian? If not, why not? While there may be things that we will go through in life, wouldn't it be so much better to go through them as a Christian? And while there may be things that we will go through in life, even because we are a Christian, wouldn't it be so much easier to go through those things knowing that you have our God and His people on your side?